You know, isn't just modern electronics great? I mean, I can't turn a computer on, but I was able to do this PowerPoint presentation. They offer you these beautiful backgrounds and spell check and everything else. So I was kind of proud of myself. But let's see if we can get through this and get started. I think, my name is Bob Perkins. I'm the chief of campus safety and security here at Southern. Been here 9 years. I was in law enforcement and for 23 years and retired. And God put me here, so it shows you God has a sense of humor. And so I love it here. I love working here. And here's what I tell people, especially when I go out and speak to men's groups or even speak to Christian groups within law enforcement or any other organization. You know, when you work for a government agency for 23 years, as I did, and some of you all probably do the same or have done the same, you can't imagine what it is to work in an environment such as this, where you come here and there's no backstabbing between employees, there's no animosity, there's no, there's the pride is taken away from you, where you're just not challenged with those adversities. And it's real simple. I mean, sure, I answer to Mr. Dan Dumas, who is one of the two senior vice presidents, and I work for Dr. Al Mohler, but I work for God. This is His church. And so when you look at that from that perspective, things are real simple as an employee, and it's just great. And I really challenge you all to think of the same way if you're in in whatever profession you're in. But about a year ago, a little over a year ago, the Kentucky Baptist Convention asked me to write a training program for our churches across the state of Kentucky on safety and security and risk management. And I did so, and I travel teaching that for churches, for associations, and I've even been down, gosh, a couple of months ago, I was down in Tennessee. In Murfreesboro on a weekend and taught it to two different associations. So what I'm leading up to, there's 20 topics in my training on church security and safety, but there's four or five topics that I really hit on in those 4 hours of training. Background investigations is one, child care, protecting your children is one. But greeters and ushers is where I spend a lot of time, and I'm really passionate about that because I'm really convinced that that is just like in fire protection, your fire extinguishers are your first line of protection when it comes to your fire protections in any building or home. I truly believe that our ushers and our greeters are our first line of protection, our first line of defense when it comes to our churches. And I hope everything you hear me say today is not only applicable for a church, whether it's large or small. 59% of all of our churches, of these 300,000 or 400,000 churches we have out here, and it doesn't matter what denomination you are or within those numbers, 59% of these churches have less than 100 members. So what I train and what I hope you'll hear me say is all this information is applicable for any size church. It's applicable for any type of faith-based school. We don't want to call our ushers and greeters security guards. We're not going to train them as CIA agents and FBI agents and state police. We're going to train our ushers to love on people as they come into the church. We're going to train them to extend that handshake, hug on people, welcome them to our churches. But at the same time, what I hope you'll hear me say is let's train our ushers and greeters to watch what's going on around. There are eyes and ears out here, and they know everybody. They know where everybody sits. They know when something is out of place. So with that in mind, this is, there we go. When I was asked to do this training, I bathed everything in Scripture. And these are just some high points, or not high points, what is highlighted in the handout I gave you is some Scriptures that I really love. Hebrews 13:2 tells us, if you all remember, We're to welcome with open arms and hospitalities and hugs and handshakes of everyone who comes into our buildings, into our churches. And the Scripture tells us why. We don't know who strangers, who angels are, who God is sending down here to visit us here on earth. And it clearly states in Hebrews that we are to extend that welcome because we do not know who the angels are. 1 Chronicles 9, in these scriptures, they talk about, if you remember, it's written in 1 Chronicles, all the names are written. Tells you who the gatekeepers are, who those chosen leaders in those tribes are. In Corinthians, I think it should be 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, it also tells us that we all have different gifts. And you know, I tell people in our training and in our churches, it doesn't matter. And my brother is a career international missionary with the International Mission Board and has lived in the Horn of Africa for 20 years. You know, Somalia, Eritrea, Ethiopia, across the Red Sea and Yemen, some of the toughest hardcore areas in the world. But again, he'll tell you what they are doing in the mission field, what I'm doing when we go to Haiti or Samaritan's Purse, when you all go all over the world to help people. That gift that we have and we use is no different than that little lady or that greeter or that usher that welcomes people with their hearts into our churches on Sunday morning. And that's what Corinthians tells us, is that we're all to use our gifts. Who are our ushers and greeters? Let's just talk about it real quick. And again, please, if you all expect me to talk for the next 50 minutes or so, you're going to be bored to death. So please jump in here with questions at any time. Our ushers and greeters are often the first person that a visitor, a guest, or another person may see and greet when they come to your church. These people, you know, who are these greeters? You know, most of the time there are older members in our churches, men and women. And they're very humble. You know, we heard Dan Dumas talk about yesterday, this, you know, the call for service that Peter writes about is we are to be humble. They're godly men and women who want to serve. And what I want to really stress to you today, it doesn't matter what we talk about and how we want to train our ushers and greeters and how to act, react, look for, document. Nothing is as important as this bullet point. No matter of what the extended role that we want these persons to be in our churches, we never want them to lose their servant attitude and how they greet people, how they welcome people into our churches in the name of God. We never want to lose that. Now, when we get to safety and security, when we talk about our ushers and greeters, what you're going to hear me mention several times, we're going to ask you all and ask you to go back to your churches and say, know your surroundings. Know what is going on. Know how many times have we maybe been in our churches and all of a sudden we see this strange car out in the parking lot. And we don't know who it is, but it's not somebody that gets out and comes into our church. Again, let's document. What I'm going to ask our ushers and greeters to do, I had one, but I didn't bring it with me, these little pocket notebooks, you know, spiral type or any type of little notebook. Let's go back and think about asking our ushers and greeters to carry one of those in their pocket with some type of writing utensil, pen or pencil. When something out of the ordinary, or if their hair stands up on the back of their neck because they see a strange person, or if they see that strange automobile in the course of greeting people, or going out and doing a parking lot perimeter search or a survey, write these things down. We're going to ask our ushers and greeters these three things: to observe, to assess what they see, and if they need to, take action. Quite often, taking action means just documenting what they did see and what they did assess. We'll talk later about, there's a lot of times, especially in our rural churches, you know what? When there are medical emergencies or there's incidents that happen in our worship services, whether it might be on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday evening or during vacation Bible school, you know what? Believe it or not, when that adrenaline goes up and everybody excited, you get excited, what happens? You get that tunnel vision. People don't know where the phones are to call 911. Now everybody now carries cell phones, but you know, you get excited. Know where the phones are. Know how to call for assistance. Maybe even know who to go to in your church. If you do, okay, there's a strange person that's hanging outside. It's summertime. It's 92 degrees, but he's got that long black coat on. And, there's something wrong with this picture. That red flag has gone up. Don't wait till that person comes in and starts walking down the aisle while your pastor is preaching the sermon. You're the usher. You're the greeter. Do you tackle him? Do you throw him on the floor? Gang, let's face it, it is something to talk about. And that's what we're here for today. Everything is on the table. Let's talk about it and see what's best in those scenarios. Watch people, make evaluations, take appropriate action. Do not act like police, CIA, or James Bond. I mean, you've got a person who's walking into your church and instead of loving on him and say, "Welcome, brother, glad to have you," you do this number. You know, you look like, who are you coming into my church? No, you still love on them, extend that handshake. But what do? "Welcome, brother, my name is Henry. What's yours?" Get a name out of them. You know, but do so in a loving manner. Know your red flags. Unknown visitors who look out of place. Persons that you may know but are having problems with others, such as domestic violence, court orders, or under criminal indictments, etc. I talked last night, and I'm a true believer in this. If you're a church minister or a pastor or a counselor, you need to see those court orders. If you've got a member in your church that is struggling in his or her life through a divorce, child custody, or any other action such as that, and there is a court action against him or her or their spouse, their children, grandparents, ask to see those documents so you know exactly what you're facing if that opposing party were to come to your church or school. Keep everything in confidence. Don't let anyone else see those documents, but ask them. You want to see exactly what those documents say from that local court. And, for example, we could sit here and give examples all day, but here's a simple one. Let's talk about if... You know that your pastor, before Bible study class on a Wednesday night, is in there counseling with a young lady who's going through a very bitter divorce, and you're an usher or greeter, and you have heard that there is some type of court action against her estranged husband. But all of a sudden, you see her estranged husband sitting out there in the parking lot. What are you going to do? Well, one of the first things you need to do as an usher or greeter is get someone to assist you in this matter, such as, "Listen, I'm going to go talk to the pastor. I know he's talking with Mary Self or whatever her name is, but I see her estranged husband out there in the parking lot, and I want to make sure that we all know what's going on." Do it simple. Do it confidentially. Do it politely. Do it with reverence, but get it done. And that's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. I mean, it almost doesn't matter the size of our churches. I recently was in a church that has about 30 people on Sunday morning for worship service, but they still have Sunday morning child care. You know, we need to know who can and cannot pick up our children. You know, we have kidnappings across America every week from our churches. People that are involved in custody battles. And we need to know those things. And ushers and greeters, I'm saying that's part of our jobs. It's part of our jobs to know who is on our property. We need to look out for these things. Persons wearing clothing that's not appropriate for the weather. I talked about that a moment ago. Persons acting suspicious, such as looking around too much, getting up and down, leaving, then coming back. I was recently at a church that I know it was in a different state, and I happened to be there, that they had a person that just did not fit But he came in on a couple of Sundays and looked around their churches, even sat in on a Sunday morning worship service. And then on a third Sunday, again, he was wearing clothing that just didn't fit what the weather was outside. Came in and set a briefcase underneath one of the pews and then left. They opened up that briefcase and it was nothing but papers and books. But what they concluded was this guy was probably doing a test run on that church. And they wanted to see how the church was going to react. But a greeter at that front door remembered him from a Sunday before and noticed how he was looking suspicious. And then noticed that he came in and he had something in his hand, but when he left before the service started, it dawned on him. Not at the time that the guy was leaving, it was a couple of minutes after the guy left, he goes, "Wait a minute, this guy brought in something, I need to go find out what that something is." And it was a briefcase. Ushers and greeters need to be at every entrance, unlocked door, or any other ways that others can get inside. This is one of the biggest points of possible disagreements that we'll have in our churches. I've been to one church in Shelby County, Kentucky, which is next door to here, three times, talking to their ushers and greeters because they cannot decide amongst themselves which doors need to remain open after the worship service starts. I preach, and I fully believe, truly believe, from my experiences, no matter what the size of your church is, once your worship service starts, or if it's a Wednesday night and you've got child care services and youth services, there should only be certain doors that a person can come into your church. And somebody needs to be at that door to welcome and greet that person to your church. For example, if you're a small church and you've got four doors, once a worship service starts, the other three need to be locked, and you've got one entrance that you can come in. If you decide to have multiple entrances, you need to have multiple people at those entrances. Churches are telling me when I go out and talk with them and teach with them, and you know what? It's a very valid point. That's where your church council or your church leadership needs to decide. You know, it is. A lot of people believe in our churches that if I'm a visitor and I go to your church and I go up to a door, and I don't know where the sanctuary is, but I go up to a door that I think leads to the sanctuary, and that door is locked, I may think you're an unfriendly church, that you don't, as a visitor, you don't want me in your church or school. That's not the case. You know, but as you heard Bob Vernon talk this morning, you know, in 1985, it was uncommon to have violence in our churches. People, it's not uncommon to have violence in our churches anymore. Let's face it. That's why we're having this conference. That's why we're having this convention, is that we're trying to get the message out. Whether it's violence, whether it's fire, it doesn't matter, you know, any risk management issue. We want to help our churches to come to understand what they need to do. Know where your child care facilities are and be able to assist them in any manner. Again, a very good point that I believe in. If you've got child care in your church, and a lot of our churches are big, child care might be in the next building, or it might be somewhere a good distance away from the sanctuary. Who better than our ushers and greeters to stay in communications with our child care people? Whether it's a two-way radio, a phone, or any other type of communication. If there's a problem over there in that child care facility during a worship service or any other type of service, who does that child care and that young 17-year-old juvenile girl, who does she contact if she has a problem? I suggest to you, let's go back and talk with our ushers and greeters and create that relationship between what other departments like child care or that you have in your church during a service. So if there is a problem, they'll know again exactly who to call and where and go to get help. Any questions, any thoughts, ideas? If you disagree with me, you're not going to offend me. Tell me what you're thinking. Not at all. Continuing on, what do you do if someone comes in late? Here's a real good one, and I bet you I'll get some questions out of this one. What if someone comes into your worship service and the sermon, your pastor is already into the sermon. You don't know who this person is. He's wearing clothing that doesn't fit the weather. He's got his hands in his pocket, or he doesn't show you his hands. He won't extend his hands to shake your hand. And he comes in and he walks in right in the middle of the service. What are you going to do as an usher or greeter with this person? Somebody tell me. Nothing? Run? If he's got a briefcase.
Greeting, personally greeting.
Absolutely. Look him straight in the eye. What else?
You want to introduce yourself, ask his name, and possibly direct him to a seat where you can
deny him. Exactly. As an usher or greeter, and wherever your doors are, and most, you know, 99% of the time they're in the back of the worship service, always keep seats open in the back. Now, as Southern Baptists, you know that's almost virtually impossible. That's where good Southern Baptists, we sit in the back. But as an usher or greeter, keep some seats open in the back. And when that person comes in that you do not know, we don't want to tackle Grandma who's been coming there for 55 years and we know and love who's, you know, we don't want to tackle Grandma just because her 1968 Buick wouldn't start that morning. This is the person we don't know. This is the person that the hair on the back of your head is standing up, where the red flags are going up. Love on him. Brother, welcome to our church. The pastor is into his sermon and he's talking from 1 John. I hope you can get in here and enjoy the rest of our service. We welcome you here. Is there anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? You know what? And if during that prayer, if this person, if he starts praying, chanting, or saying anything that's a threat or raises those red flags, again, know who to call. Get somebody back there to help you. But most of all, have a place where you say, listen, welcome, I'm glad you're here. Our pastor is talking, is preaching today from 1 John. I've got a seat for you right here. And lead him to that seat. You know, if he does, but let's take it one step further. What happens if he doesn't sit down in that seat? What do you do? We don't carry weapons. We can't shoot him in the back of the head. We don't carry tasers, so we can't tase him.
By then, you're in the sanctuary, and the service is going on. And if, you know, what do you say? Hey, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to distract everybody.
This is where you have to have a plan in place before this point, before you ever get to this point. It doesn't matter the size of your church. You've got to have a plan in place. I can tell you what I recommend, and I can tell you what Ron Aguilar will tell you this evening, where he's the security director out at Southeast Christian, where they have thousands. There comes a point that person does not get to the pulpit. It does not matter. He does not make it to the pulpit. Now, can you imagine you go back to your church and you recommend that to your church? At some point, you're going to take physical action against someone. You got to be ready. You got to be ready for that battle. But you've got to know what you're talking about. But there has, you as an usher or greeter, if that person doesn't, if he doesn't say anything but keeps on walking, you've got to walk with him. You've got to direct him to every empty seat that there is. Sir, would you mind? Because what does that do at that point? That tells you that this person has ulterior motives. It tells you he's a problem. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things we're doing in our church is so that they can hand off real easily.
Yeah. That's exactly what I train. That's exactly what I recommend to our churches. You know, all of our churches, regardless of what size they are, and even our faith-based schools, we have people in our churches and schools that are doctors, or nurses, or EMTs, or first responders, or deputy sheriffs, or police officers, they're federal agents, they're probation officers. Have these people on your safety and security committee, or at least talk to them, and ask them, listen, during worship service, I'm going to ask you to sit in this location with you and your family. Will you please do that? And the reason being, if we have one of these scenarios that we're describing here today, obviously, even if I got my back to the usher or greeter, but if that greeter or usher is with a person coming down that aisle that is not responding, I'm going to hear it. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to see immediately what's going on. And as you say, at that point, he becomes my problem. You hand him off to that next person. But that person has to understand there's church policy now what has to happen. But in my church, the policy is that person does not make it to the pastor. It doesn't matter whether we got 600 or 1,200 people attending one of our chapel services, or if I'm back in my home church and we've got 350 on a Sunday morning, or if I'm in a local country church with 50 people, I know from experience if somebody comes in and we don't know this person, or even if we know this person and he has a grudge against our pastor, if I have prayed and God has asked me to protect his church, then that's my duty to protect that pastor.
And I think something to keep in mind, too, is there's no logical reason for anybody to be up there to go up and talk to a pastor at church. I think a lot of times people don't have a safety mindset. They think of it as, well, we want to be open and welcoming. Well, that's fine to be open and welcoming. There's seats in the back. There's no reason to talk to the pastor.
But, you know, if you talk to our pastors, they'll say, well, listen, there has been occasions that people will come up because they're filled in the Holy Spirit. They'll come up even before the altar call and want to pray at the altar. And they'll say, for that reason, I don't want that person stopped. But I'm saying, let's make sure we know this person. We don't, that this person isn't raising any red flags. But still, I would stress to my pastor, sir, you know, you've asked me to be in charge of safety and security. This is what I recommend. You know, please listen to what we're saying. But as ushers and greeters, you work with your safety committee. Or if you don't have a safety committee, find out who in your church will work with you on that, just on that issue alone. Because that's what we're seeing happen, is happening in our churches. And what do you know, here at Southern Seminary is a little bit different than maybe a church. They might have some beef with the pastor, but as you heard Tommy Ishmael talk yesterday, this guy had two or three clips of ammo. And what we train for here at Southern Seminary is these people that want to hurt us, they want to take out and kill and hurt as many people as they can. So that's the mindset that we have to be in. And as an usher and greeter, don't scare our 74-year-old greeters to death, or our ushers, or the little blue-haired grandmother that's helping greet people as they come in the door. Let's not scare them to death that every other person is packing heat. In Kentucky, they very well may. Tennessee, 3/4 of everybody that enters our churches have guns, but that's just standard. You can't be a good Southern Baptist. That's right. We can't let you if you don't have a weapon.
That's right. California, guns are evil.
Yeah. So again, we've talked about most of this here. What action do you take against them? Know where your help may come from. How do you summon that help? And always reserve the seats. Any other thoughts or ideas on this topic alone?
Yeah. What about is the picking the right people for the right location?
Yeah.
Because there are people that just have more of a presence and more of an ability to be gentle but pointed, and have a gift of discernment,
right,
to know when to intervene, where someone else just may have a disposition of, let's be welcoming, that doesn't serve.
I think it's where your deacons come in. I think especially if you've got a deacon that has some experience in law enforcement or dealing with people. So, you know, that's who we use. We use our deacons in these strategic locations. Let's talk about, even as an usher or greeter, even though, you know, you cannot be at that back door welcoming, or at the front door coming into the sanctuary welcoming people, if that person sees a bulge underneath your jacket and it's a gun or mace, or, you know, you just can't carry that. But do other people in your churches carry these items? Again, that's a decision the church has to make. I get that question everywhere I go when I'm asked to speak and conduct this training. What I'll tell these churches is, if you decide to let people carry weapons in your churches, you've got a tremendous liability, and I'll help your church train. But if your church decides not to have these weapons in your church, I will help your people train. Either way, that's a decision the church has to make. And even though our ushers and greeters should never carry anything in the way of mace or weapons, or Bob Vernon called them, what he called that? I called it a slapstick when I was back in police work, but they outlawed them in Kentucky a few years ago. I forgot what he called them this morning. A zap. We called them slapsticks, and they did get the job done. Tasers is the best thing to come across for police work in the last 50 years. I'm a firm believer in that. Tasers are. I want to tell you what my brother said, who's the head of supply to Kentucky State Police. He's a civilian, but you know, there isn't a car or uniform or anything that's issued unless it goes to his office. And he doesn't like tasers because it costs more than a bullet. So, but we won't go there. You can just take administration so far. Outside perimeter and parking lot. Now let's take this to a different level here when we talk about our ushers and greeters. Let's try to utilize them a little bit more. Number one, let's talk about when the service is before the service starts. And let's talk about when the service has already started. Obviously, you need multiple ushers and greeters. But let's talk about the responsibility of parking lots or perimeter patrol. It's not any big secret. You know, let's ask our ushers and greeters, you know, 15 minutes prior to, or 10 minutes prior to worship service, take a walk through the parking lots or around the perimeter and see if you see anything that is out of place. See if you see someone sitting in a car that you do not know, that is crouched down behind the seat, doesn't want you to see him, and just looks out of place. Or walk around and see if anywhere around the entrance doors, if you do see suspicious packages or anything else sitting around. Or see if there's anyone that's having a problem, if they're having an argument with each other. Just do that type of walk around. And then also, once that service starts and you've got everybody inside and they're sitting down and they're all worshiping and honoring God and singing or into the service, let's, as ushers and greeters, let's look at, you still got someone at the main entrance, but let's have somebody else walk the parking lots. Let's have somebody else walk the perimeter. And some of our bigger churches, and some of you all very well may have it, if you're a bigger church, you might very well have off-duty security police officers doing that for you. I am a firm believer, and because I came from that profession, plus I've been fortunate to be in God's church for many years, and plus now I'm in security, I'm a firm believer if you can afford it, an off-duty police officer is the best security you can hire. Because they're sitting there in your parking lot, they're in a mark. Don't get somebody that's got a plain Camaro or something. You want to, if you're paying him $20-$30 an hour to work security for you, you want him to be in a marked unit. You want, because the bad guys, you want him sitting there in uniform. You want him doing the perimeter searches. Because one of the things I did in my career in the police department, I was in administration for a while, and I was on a couple of task force. One of these task forces that we went to prisons in Kentucky and interviewed criminals. What is your mindset? What time of night do you do your burglaries? What do you look for when you go do a home invasion? And so, you know, we interviewed a couple of hundred of these people and we come to a conclusion. And what these thieves, what the bad guys tell us is, number one, they do not want to be identified. It doesn't matter whether if you're on the mission field and you're overseas or if you're here in the United States, the bad guys don't want to be identified. And if they see an usher out there walking around and this usher has a name tag and they can see it from a distance, the bad guy knows that that's someone of importance. That's someone that's officially with that church. Bad guys don't want to be identified. So do the perimeter walks. I even encourage you, if you're a large enough church and if it's my month that on Sundays I'm going as a deacon, I'm going to walk the perimeter on behalf of the ushers and greeters, guess what I'm going to have on? I'm going to have on one of those fluorescent lime green vests that says security on the back, because bad guys don't want to be identified. So think about those things when you're talking about doing outside perimeters and parking lots. Carry items to write things down with and on in case you see suspicious activity. Wear clothing, name tags, or other identifiable items that others can see. Think about your two-way communications. Now, I'm not saying your usher back there in your main entrance needs to have a radio strapped onto him with one of those covert, you know, wires that come up into his ear, but, you know, that's not a way to welcome someone to your church. I'm just saying have some way of communication. The bad guys, they don't want to see persons who can identify them, and we've talked about all this. You know, what's another good aspect of having your ushers and greeters in your parking lot before your service starts? One of the most friendliest things you can do, when I visit churches that have people out in the parking lots, that greet people in the parking lots, you know right off the bat you're in the right church, you're in the right place. I mean, because they think of you that much that they're putting someone, you know, I don't have to wait to open a door and peek around to see if I'm in the right place. I've got somebody out there in that parking lot that is telling me, and I say, well, listen, I'm here to see Joe Kleins. I'm going to go into his Bible study class. Oh, that's fine. Go around here and go through that door. So think about that with your ushers and greeters. Other points, and we're going to wind down here and have some questions before we go to lunch, is know how to summon others if you need help or assistance. Know how to summon EMS, fire, and police if needed. Know where the nearest phone is or other communication device. And if you feel like you need to pray with someone, do so. But if a red flag goes up, summon help. I mean, there has been documented times that people will just walk into a church and the first person they see, will you pray with me? But when you start praying, this person, you say, what do you want me to pray about with you? Well, my wife is divorcing me and she's sitting inside in here and you know, you can see where I'm going with this. People, that red flag's gone up. Say, listen, stay right here. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to get a guy that can help us pray together. But what you're doing is summoning help. I mean, you've got to get help there in those type of situations. In closing, as we started out, never, and never's a long time, never lose your servant's heart in meeting and greeting others in your church. This is not only for greeters and ushers. This is just us as Christian men and women. Just don't ever lose that servant's heart. Greet others with handshakes, hugs, smiles, and make eye contact. When in doubt, get another opinion on matters that come to your attention. We've talked about that several times in these few minutes. Do not carry guns, mace, rockets, nukes, or any other weapons that might give people the wrong impression. Sports fans, that's what I have to offer you this morning. Please tell me if anybody got any questions or thoughts, ideas, attaboys. No, I don't believe in what you're doing. Just anything at all. Go ahead.
I think one of the things you just mentioned toward the end is important as far as being helpful. Good things and twos is really a good way to help the future things. Person one-on-one will generally do things differently than two-on-one.
Yeah. How big is your church?
Well, we have 1,500 to 2,000 people in kind of a small area, the sanctuary and main hall, and that on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you get pretty busy.
And you have a good pool of people to pull from, probably. Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Also, just my greeting team captain, and we've got 30 plus greeters working at any
time.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's got a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't have an earpiece, but then I have a walkie-talkie, I'm the administrator. Mm-hmm. I have a walkie-talkie, I have a security team on a walkie-talkie, another pastor's on a walkie-talkie, and we have channels set up for security, general operations, and it's just helpful to get that real quick, hey, I noticed something, you want to pop over? And you mentioned just when in doubt, get someone else's opinion. Mm-hmm. Just that's been invaluable, mm-hmm. just to get with somebody if you see something and just talk, what do you think? I don't know. Yeah. And it just, it enforces a vigilant mm-hmm. mindset, and I think it spreads it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our church is about 300, uh-huh. and we've expanded quickly, and I feel like we're really stretching our people thin mm-hmm. when it comes to volunteer and nursery workers and security and ushers and AD. And mm-hmm. and one of my biggest concerns is the spiritual health of the volunteers, because mm-hmm. they're not in the service, they're not worshiping the Lord, they're not hearing the sermon, they're out there mm-hmm. serving. And that's, I'm really struggling with that in terms of rotation and getting enough people that aren't. I have ushers that are also on the nursery schedule.
Right. What is it, 20% of the people do 100% of the work?
That's the biggest problem mm-hmm. I think I have.
Yeah. That. You know what? And when it comes to security, there's when I teach this whole full-fledged program, I talk about, do you use your own people and train them? Do you hire a contract security service? We use a contract security service here, but I also have my own staff of six other guys that are sworn police that carry weapons. Or do you hire off-duty security? We know our budgets are stretched thin, but I've actually seen churches, and I recommend to churches, if your budget will allow you to take the place of those security people, even if it's no more than during your all's worship services. Let me back up here. I recommend there's a certain number. If you have this many people at your church, you need security there. Now, who is security? Is it your own people? Is it contract security? Is it off-duty police officers? The reason why I say this, put them outside. Put your security people in the green vest. The contract security people will have their own uniforms, and they'll have the badges on their sleeves. Our off-duty police will be in their cruisers. If your budget will allow you, an option you may have is to hire somebody during those times that you want security on your campus or on your church property. You might hire that contract security service or an off-duty police officer. I know that costs money, but that's an option to get your people back inside, you know, to get the spiritual, feeding that they need. But you're right, you have to rotate them. And I don't recommend anybody stay on that rotation over a month at a time, because then they need to sit down and be part of the worship service too.
Right now our security is our ushers and greeters.
Yeah.
And the deacons.
Right, the church. Yeah, that size, you almost have to.
Right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a nursery monitor that roams the halls during the service.
Yeah. But you know, again, if that's what God is calling your church to ask them to do, and they got a servant's heart, then minister to those people on the side, even if the pastor needs to meet with them once a week and have coffee with them and fill their hearts with the spirit that they need. There's some options there, but your pastor has to buy into that also. He has to recognize that they have a need. They're providing a service. You're right. We see people in our child care has been there for years. You know, when you finally see them in a worship service, you go, who are they? You know, and they've been there longer than you've been, but they've just been doing other things. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
How do you recommend, what have you seen that works on these court order things mm-hmm. and knowing about domestic violence schedules that may be going on? What do you use in terms of getting pastoral buy-in to give you that information?
Immediately. You've got to know who's on your property. If you're an usher or a greeter, I feel strongly that you have the right to know what is going on in the way of potential danger, so you, again, can look out and watch for these things. It's to be held in confidence. Again, depending on the size of your church, this will either happen in rare occurrence or it might happen all the time. A court order is a public document. There's nothing private about it, other than the person that presents it might be embarrassed or ashamed. But I am a firm believer that as part of your church policies and procedures with your safety and our security committee or whoever is in charge of it, it might just be one person, that in talking with your pastor or pastors or counselors, that you strongly urge them that if they do come across and they're working with someone spiritually and in their capacity as a counselor or a pastor, and there is a court order that affects them, you as a pastor need to see that court order, but it also needs to be passed down to those that your church has chosen to protect it, and that is your ushers and greeters or security people. Yeah, not as much as they need to see that court order per se, but someone on that staff, the pastor, needs to come to you and say, listen, Ron or Bill, and say, listen, you all know Mary Alice that comes to church here. She's going through a bitter divorce, and she has a court order against her husband, Bob, who drives a 2003 red Chevrolet, truck with a camper on the back of it. If you see him on the property, let me or somebody in my staff know immediately. There's a court order out against him that he can't be within 1,000 feet of her. It's just something as simple as that. Yeah. And keep it in that little book, and pass it on to person. If the rotation comes up and now it's your Sunday to be with the ushers and greeters, that little book that stays maybe locked up in the secretary's office or the pastor's office in between Sundays or Wednesdays, pass that on to whoever's taking your shift the next week. And then thumb through that book and see what information's in there. Yeah, do so. Yeah, go ahead.
I do have a question at the end of all this, but I got to tell you, I'm overwhelmed by everything that I've heard. I've got a unique perspective that I'm at a church where I've been the worship pastor for 7 years.
Okay.
And I've been a part-time basis for 4 of those 7 years. We had a pastor that had been there 20 years, church on the nice side of Evansville, but it has that small country church kind of feel to it. That's the culture, so to speak. Well, in the last 3 years, we've tripled in size. All of our associates, even our senior pastor, was trained here at the school. They got their master's from the school. But security has not even been on our radar for the last how many ever years. While we've grown so much and built on and added, it's kind of come since I'm the worship pastor, usher greeter falls underneath my first impressions team, that whole area. When it comes to having a group that counts the people or does a walkthrough and looks at the doors, pretty much I'm our worship pastor, but as soon as I get done leading worship, I go do that stuff.
Yeah.
We just started a new children's worship ministry because our children's pastor resigned, and that's an area where we really kind of need to improve. I mean, the thought of even adding security to that was just like, people were like, what are you talking about? So I'm looking at a church that, a couple years ago was 150, now it's 450, and the culture is we still know everybody. All 15 doors are still unlocked all throughout the service. There's nobody monitoring, I walk the halls, count, look at people, and then I get back in about the time our pastor's wrapping up his sermon so I can go lead the last song and get the band ready. So, free services, I mean, it is so crazy to think that we have everything in place everywhere else but this area. So when I say I'm overwhelmed, I mean, it's just, my question would be, is this usher greeter area, other than the obvious of getting our cops to go to our church, our doctors, nurses, and everybody else in place for safety and security, but is this usher greeter where I really work? Because my pastor sent me here, Maryville's scared the daylights out of him like it did everybody else. That very next week, a guy walks into our service, and I just happen to be at one of our 6 doors leading into our worship space. I just happen to be standing there and talk to him. My pastor's like, thank God you talked to that guy. I didn't know who. He was in the wrong church. He was looking for somebody in a different church. That met at 11, not 10:45. That's why he was, so it's kind of weird, But through all this, hey, go there, check this out, see what this conference is all about, blah, 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 blah. So I get here and I realize we have none of this in place. So two things. One is, my name is Jason, I live in Evansville, I'll cover your prayers for my church.
All right.
Protection. But the second part of that is, God has been very gracious to us. and has granted us, and we do backgrounds for our children's workers and blah, 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 that kind of stuff, but, you know, we're getting bigger now, and I've got to start this somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be the guy that does it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm very much interested in it. It's very much, I got kids that go to our church myself, and, you know, I want to see us. Is our usher greeter a good starting point for me as far as...
Yeah, Jason, if I, to answer...
We're starting at the ground right now.
Yeah. First off, let's give thanks to God that he's bringing people to your church. I mean, that's just wonderful to hear that your church is growing. It sounds to me that you need to start a safety and security meeting, our team. You're not going to get all these questions answered in a couple of meetings. It's going to take a series of meetings. But if you've got people in your church that is interested in starting a safety and security team, what I teach is free. I do it as a ministry, as my time allows me. There's companies that's even here, vendors that you can pay to come and do the same thing. I would recommend you get one of us down to your church and talk with you all and give you some more ideas on the whole gamut. But it sounds like to me you are at the point where you need to start a safety and security team and start addressing these issues, get them before the church and get them answered where you can then implement them. And this is a process. This doesn't happen overnight. It just takes...
We're literally parked on ignorance is bliss right now.
Yeah.
And that's literally where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, it won't happen to us.
And you know, if I needed someone to pray for me, I come to you. If you need security, you come to me. So that's the way it works. But what a blessing that you have a church that's like that. But that, are you a student here?
No.
Okay. But call me, see me. If I can help you, I will. All of my information is public. I mean, you go to the Kentucky Baptist Convention's website, plug in Safe Church Initiative. At some point, it'll direct you to me and my ugly picture. And everything I teach is right there. And if it's something that you all might need, other than Kentucky football games, a lot of Saturdays and deer hunting, I'm available. So,
if you can find a guy in your church who has a leadership gift and
sure.
has this burden,
yeah,
because you're doing so much,
yeah,
you know, you're gonna.
Oh yeah, I'm like. I'm maybe the guy to get this thing rolling, but I do understand that I'm not the guy to make it happen.
If you've got police officers, and I bet you've got three or four in your church, start there. If they've got a servant's heart.
Good guys, good guys.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Got kids, they're in our church, young guys, great guys.
Yeah.
Those guys need to rotate, like someone buy up work nights or they're not able to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Chances are they're wondering themselves, waiting themselves to be approached, saying, I wonder why they are.
Exactly.
Sure.
Good point.
Being in law enforcement for years and years, we perceive things a lot different than other people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird for me as a worship pastor standing in front of 450 people every week to think that I could be a potential target. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That something that I'm doing may be offensive to Johnny Weird Guy that walks in because I'm leading people in worship of God. And so to put on this hat that says, hey, you got to think about this stuff,
two thoughts there, and I know we need to get out of here. I have pastors that tell me, do you think, I've got my CCDW, I love my weapon, I bought a Walther PK, and that's just because he just watched the latest James Bond movie. You know, it's the worst gun out here on the market. But they go, should I carry that weapon in the pulpit? No, he should not. And here's why. I am a firm believer that our pastors that are standing in that pulpit, they need to have the mentality of our missionaries and pastors in these third world countries that they can be taken out or attacked, that Satan can attack them at any time, live with it, accept it, get over it. If you've got that weapon in your back or in your on an ankle holster or they tucked in your belt, at some point, at some service, when you're up there and you're supposed to be preaching God's word, and you go, wow, I feel that gun. You're doing a disservice to your congregation. That gun has distracted you. So I do not believe our pastors in the pulpit need to carry a weapon. So unless it's back in the Daniel Boone days when they had the flintlock just sitting up there. And yeah. And
I'd be Barney anyway, looking for the bullet.
I'm looking for the bullet.
Along those lines, I mean, if you're the guy closing the meeting, I don't know how you can close it without having heard the sermon.
Yeah.
To be faithful to all that God's doing. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, even think practically from a pastoral perspective, you know, that is coming alongside the pastor to say, let's serve our people doctrinally. You've got to be there here. Use your gifts. Adequately.
Anything else before we get out of here and enjoy lunch? Chick-fil-A, I think. Anything else? Well, let's close in prayer. Let's give thanks for His church, Jason's church. Father God, we come to You today. Thank You for this opportunity to serve You, to honor You, and we hope that everything we have said, everything that we have thought, everything that we want to initiate will honor You and Your kingdom. Father, we give You thanks for Jason, for his church. What a wonderful blessing. We got to hear how You're bringing people into His church to know You, to know what Your Scripture says, and also for the pastor and for Jason have planted in their hearts that, Father, we may need to look at something else in the area of safety and security. Father, I thank You for the men in this room. I thank You for the work they do for You. And Father, I thank You for the opportunity, if I don't get to meet them again here on this earth, that Father God, I will get to spend heaven, Your heaven, with the men in this room. Father, we love You. May we honor You, and we ask all these things in Thy name. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you.